coming week, and that's sort of a Catholic sort of a thing. There's no way in the world Jesus could have been crucified on Friday. If he rose Sunday morning and he is in the grave 3 days and three nights, it's impossible. Friday night, Saturday night, you can't get it. So you back it on up to bad Wednesday evening. The Jewish day starts at 6 o'clock in the evening. So it would be Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Saturday is the Sabbath. Late at the night, 12 o'clock midnight on Saturday, he would rise from the dead. Some put it on Thursday. But either way you look at it, it wasn't Friday. It's impossible to get 3 days and three nights from Friday afternoon to Sunday morning. And so there was different Sabbath during that week. Sometimes there was more Sabbath than just the regular Sabbath. There was other days of rest that they call Sabbath. We'll get into all that teaching some other time. This morning, look at John chapter 3, and I want to bring you a message here this morning about his death on the cross and what it has and does and should mean to us. John chapter number 3 this morning, I want you to look at an amazing verse of Scripture when he's talking here to Nicodemus and them, and he tells about his death. Look at John chapter number 3 and verse 14. The Lord said here, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, like this, he's talking about being lifted up on the cross, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Then the greatest verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to look back at verse 14 at the word must. Must. The Lord said, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must. You know what that means? It had to happen. It was an absolute necessity that Christ die on the cross. And that's exactly what I'd like to preach on this morning. The necessity of the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, the Jesus dying on the cross was not an afterthought of God. When Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't a good plan gone bad. There are actually people that believe that and teach it. They believe he came here to do good and teach everybody to be good and everything, and things went wrong and they killed him. It wasn't that way at all. When Jesus died on the cross, it was not plan B. God didn't say, all right, we'll try this. If that don't work, we'll do that. It was divine. It absolutely had to happen. It wasn't a maybe. He said, just like Moses lifted up his serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This has to happen. And I'm going to tell you why, by the help of the Lord. The cross was a divine must. According to the Lord Jesus Christ, it had to happen. I'm rejoicing this morning in the cross. Boy, when they were singing that song, oh, tell me the story. You know what me and you can shout about this morning? We can't shout about us being good because we're not. Brother Mike covered it in Sunday school. There's nothing good about us. We are not saved by our works in the absolute least at all. Buddy, I'm standing here before y'all saved by God's grace this morning because somebody went to the cross and paid my sin debt for me. Don't ever get over that. Don't ever get over what Jesus did for you on the cross. They asked a great preacher one time, his beliefs, Charles Spurgeon. And most of you have heard of Charles Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, one of the greatest preachers ever been in this country. And they said, what do you believe, preacher? He said, I can sum up my whole theology in four words. Charles Spurgeon said this, and he was a brilliant man. He said, Jesus died for me. That's it. That's all the theology that a man needs. But when it comes time for me to die, I'm going to say, Jesus died for me. He took my place. Hallelujah. He took my place. I'm telling you what, that makes me just as saved as anybody, the Apostle Paul or Billy Graham or anybody. I'm a part of God's family. Hallelujah. Going to heaven, heaven bound with a hammer down. Amen. Because Jesus died for me. Amen. Now I want to say a few things about it this morning. We can rejoice. This ought to be a happy week for us. This ought to be a great week for us. And it ought not to be the only one we have. Every week ought to be a great week for a child of God. I want to say, first of all, this morning, we're talking about the cross. And I want to say, sin made it necessary. Sin made it necessary. The cross was necessary. Had there been no sin, there'd be no need for the cross. But the second sin became actual, the cross became essential. Did you hear what I said? The very second that sin became actual, the cross became essential. The second that Adam and Eve ate that fruit in the Garden of Eden, right then, the cross became essential. Because God, assuming responsibility for His creation, said, I will let my Son pay for that sin. You know, I've had a lot of people ask me over the years, they'll say, why did God, if God knew everybody's going to sin and it was going to be such a mess, why did He even make the devil or anything like that? And the answer is this, God is love. Listen to me. God is love. And for love to be real love, there has to be something to love. So He creates man. He puts man on this earth. And this is a college education in 30 minutes, if you'll listen to me. And God puts man on this earth and says, I love that man. Now, you know, love, to be a circle, has to be returned. So man is to love God back. Now, the only way that man can love God back on his own is have a choice. So the Lord allows the devil to become evil so that man can choose. If there'd been no choice, it wouldn't be. I mean, if we was all like robots and we're just mechanical, okay, we love God because He made it, that wouldn't be real love, right? I mean, same way you men, when you love your wife, you want her of her own choice to love you back. You want your husband of his own choice to love you back. Same way with God. He wants us of our own choice to love Him back. So He creates the third party. And God didn't make the devil the devil. He made the cherub that covered the... He was perfect when He was created. Then He got sin in His heart, and He wanted to be like God, and sin got in Him, and then He tempted Adam and Eve with the fruit and said, eat one of these, and Eve ate and gave to her husband, and he ate, and the entire human race fell at that moment. And that's why we have murder, and that's why we have trouble, and that's why all the problems are in the world. You know, a lot of people, I run into people sometimes and they'll say, well, if God's so good, why is there so much trouble in the world? And I said, that don't prove there's no God, it proves there is a devil. The reason there's so much trouble in the world, the devil has got people messed up. Now the Lord looks down and He says, all right, you sinned. And He's already got a plan in His mind to take care of the sin that Adam and Eve committed. So He kills an animal and puts it over them at temporary. And He knows that 4,000 years later, His Son, which is God in flesh, are going to beat nails to His hands and beat Him to death, and He'll die on a cross, and He didn't deserve it. The second sin became into this world, the cross came a necessity. Ladies and gentlemen, He bore our sins in His own body. He died for our sins according to the Scripture. He died for our sins according to the Scripture. It's not a joke. It's not a fairy tale. It's not an old wives' tale. It is the truth of God. Sin made it necessary. I want to say number two this morning. You know why the cross was a necessity? Holiness made it necessary. Holiness made it necessary. Never before was holiness demonstrated in a divine substitute. That God in flesh became in flesh to die on the cross. Think about this. Here's God in heaven. Here's God the Son. God the Son goes down to earth. He lets them put nails in His hands and in His feet to pay for my sin, your sin, Every lie you've ever told. Everything you've ever took that wasn't yours. Every time you've ever said a cuss word. Every time you've ever drank a beer or smoked a joint or went to a party or you done something that you wasn't supposed to. Every single time Jesus let them beat nails through his feet and hands for you. That's holiness, brother. That's holiness. That's how much God hates sin. He let them beat him to death so that you and I could have the holiness of God. Somebody wrote a book about Abraham Lincoln, and they wrote a 5,000-page book about the life of Abraham Lincoln. 25 pages were devoted to his death out of 5,000. That's 4,975 pages about the life of Abraham Lincoln. That wouldn't be probably a half a percent or one or something like that. And that's the story of Abraham Lincoln. However, the stories, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they said 1/3 of the book of Mark is talking about his death. 33%. 1/3 of the book of Luke talks about his death. And 1/2 the book of John deals with his death and the events around his death. Every other person you write a book about, they just put a little bit about his death at the very end. He got shot. Abraham Lincoln, it was awful. And he died. But buddy, when it comes to Jesus Christ, it's half about his life and the other half of the book. Why? Because that death was different than any man that's ever lived on this earth. Hallelujah, brother. It made holiness necessary. I'm telling you, a cross ain't something you just wear around your neck. It's not a piece of jewelry. There really was a heel. There really was an old rugged cross. It had splinters. It had blood in it, buddy, and they laid his body on that cross. Have you thought about that lately? Have you thought about what Jesus did for you? It won't be hard for you to love him if you just realize what he did for you. It won't be hard for you to care about him. Muhammad never did that for his followers. Buddha never did that for his followers. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Hallelujah. He died for me. Holiness made it necessary. Let me say thirdly this morning, justice made it necessary. Divine justice. God is just. God declared, the soul that sinneth it shall die. How can a just God be just and justify a guilty sinner? That was the question. How can a holy God that can't stand sin take somebody like us and make us fit to go in his presence? You see, everything you've ever done wrong in your life, you owe for it. It'd be like borrowing money from the bank. Okay, I told a lie. I need more money. Okay, I done this. Need more money. And you owe God for every sin. When you was in the third grade and learned how to cheat on a test, and you got the answers from your friend over here, and they told you the right answers put down, you say, oh, Lord, you mean all that? Yes, sir. I'm talking about third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, and you started cussing, and you started lying, and you owe God for all them sins. Now, how is God, who's perfect, going to let somebody like us in there to heaven? He can't do it. There's only one way. We have to be declared righteous. And the only way we can be declared righteous is somebody take our place and pay our debt for us. You get that? Do you get that? I'm glad, brother, when he died, he was thinking about me. Over yonder on that cross, when he died, they said, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I like that story. I'm telling you, that sounds good to me. Hey, he was over there dying on the cross that day, and somebody said, if you're the Son of God, why don't you come down? Well, the old preacher said, he looked out across the Sea of Galilee. He looked out across Europe. He looked out 2,000 years into the future, saw a little 18-year-old boy laying in the floor, bawling his eyes out at Nebo Baptist Church, and said, I turned up my cup and drank it. I'm dying for Danny. I'm telling you, buddy, that's the best news I've ever heard in my life. I'm not going to heaven because I'm good. I ain't good. I'm going to heaven because I'm justified. He paid my debt. He paid a debt he didn't owe. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. And Jesus died for me. His preacher said at one time, one of his members was going to get to go to the Holy Land, go to Israel. I've had bunches of people over the years saying, Danny, we want to take you to Israel. We want you to go to Jerusalem. I've never been. I've never been on one of them Holy Land tours. I've always said I'd like to. I just never have been. I'm busy, and it'd be hard for me to do that. And I know preachers that go a lot. I'll get to go 1,000 times during the millennium. We go up to Jerusalem every year, so you're going to get to go plenty then. And it'll be a lot better trip then, and you won't have to worry about some fool slicing the pilot's throat or something like that. But anyway, I've never been over there, but they said this preacher, one of his members, got to go. And when he went over there, he said they sell souvenirs and trinkets. And they sell little pieces when they say, this is a piece of the cross. Old Ruckman said they'd sell more pieces of that cross enough to build a battleship out of. And this is a piece of the cross. This is the last piece. You know, sell it to people. But anyway, they're selling things over there, right there at Calvary where Jesus died. And he thought of his pastor. And he bought him a little old souvenir. And when he came back, he talked to the pastor in the church, and he said, preacher, I just wanted you to know, I was over there and I was shopping, and I thought about you, and I bought you this and brought it home. He's over there at Calvary, and he said, I bought you this and I brought it to you. And the preacher said, I really appreciate that. That means a lot to me. And he went home and he started thinking about it. He started thinking about that, and the Lord began to burn a message in his heart. And he said, he got up and he preached that Sunday morning, and he said, you know what? He said, folks, brother so-and-so come back from his trip to Jerusalem, and he brought me a little old souvenir, and he said, I just love it. And he said, I thought, wasn't that nice of him? He thought about me at Calvary. He thought about me at Calvary. And then he said, it hit me. I'm glad somebody else thought about me at Calvary. And I'm telling you this morning, brother, somebody thought about you at Calvary one day. Amen. Somebody thought about you, and they brought you something a lot better to tweak it, a lot better than an ink pen, a lot better than a piece of a cross. Brother, I didn't get a piece of the cross. I got the man that died on the cross in my heart. Hallelujah, and in my soul. Lord have mercy. If I don't shut up, I'm going to get undignified. I'm telling you today, bless his holy name. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's good to be saved, baby, y'all. Woo! You know what you can feel in here this morning? You can feel that fasting. People have been praying and fasting. The power of God's in this place today. You better do something about it. You better do business with him today. You better do business with him. He's here this morning. Amen. Justice made it necessary. Oh, not only that, number four, the law made it necessary. The law made it necessary. The Bible said the law, where the law, no man can be justified by the law. The law didn't bend. The law don't cut you no slack. Thou shalt not kill. Well, I didn't mean to. Too bad. I mean, that law rough. It don't bend for nobody. Thou shalt not steal. Well, but Lord, there ain't no excuses. You broke the law. As a matter of fact, that book says if you broke the law in one point, you become guilty of all. I've heard people say, well, I'm not as bad as old so-and-so. Yeah, but we're all still in the same boat, brother. Headed down, headed for hell. Listen, I don't care. You was born in sin. You was a sinner by nature. Soon as you got big enough, you was a sinner by choice. Wasn't you? Yes, sir. You sure was. Don't you sit here this morning and look at me like, well, I'm not like some people. I'm a good person. No, you're not. That Bible said there's none good, no, not one. I don't care. I'm talking about your grandma, too. I don't care if she's seen 14 angels in her bedroom and if she's seen visions and brother walked on water. She's still a sinner. And the Bible said there's none good, no, not one. That's why Jesus died. The law made it necessary. And you know there were seven sayings on the cross. I'll give them to you quickly. You can study them. Seven things Jesus spoke while he was dying for our sins. First, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Second, he told the thief, verily I say unto you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Third, woman, behold thy son, talking to John, and behold thy mother. Take my mother home with her and take care of her. Number four, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Number five, I thirst. Number six, it is finished. finished. And number seven, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And brother, he left this body, and the body went in the tomb. His spirit went to God. His soul went into paradise in the heart of the earth and emptied it out. 3 days later, he jumped up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. As we celebrate this week, next Sunday, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose! He arose! Hallelujah! Christ arose this morning. Listen, that's the greatest Easter sermon you could ever hear, brother. He rose! He lives from the, and rose from the dead. Number five, prophecy made it necessary. You know why Jesus died on the cross? It was prophesied. The prophecy's got to be fulfilled. Everything the Bible says got to happen. People say, well, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible that's happened. Yep, and the rest of it's going to happen. There's a whole bunch of that Old Testament that ain't happened yet, and a bunch of the New Testament ain't happened yet, but it's going to happen. When this book says it, buddy, you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, let me tell you what happened to fulfill prophecy when Jesus died. Isaiah 53:7, it said he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. That happened. The day Jesus died, they spit in his face. Covered it. And I don't mean to be irreverent. They covered his face in their spit, with their spit. They plowed up his back like you'd take a plow and plow your garden. A tiller. You don't know your, that's why they did his back. That's why we love him. That's why we sing in the choir and try to live right and try to help people. I was in Walmart the other night. We went up there, and I preached this week and went to Walmart to get some stuff, and I got a little DVD player that I was going to work on youth rally stuff, and I left my charger at home. So I went back there where they sell the things, and I said, y'all got a charger to fit a DVD player? And this young man said, yeah, we got them right around here. And we went around like this, and that boy, like I always do, I tried to witness to him. And when I got through talking to him, I said, buddy, you remember, Jesus loves you. And he looked at me and he looked down like that. And he said, I don't know how did you know? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I just know the Lord. He said, why'd you say that to me? I said, because the Lord loves you. And I felt like I don't. He said, you don't know what I'm going through. His tears come in his eyes. He said, my best friend just got killed. They was riding dirt bikes. And two of his buddies, he said, they rode them all the time. He's just turned 24. And they was out the other night riding them on a dirt road, flat, and two of them hit each other and killed one and injured the other one really, really, really bad. And killed. He said, he's my best friend. He said, it's too soon. It was too soon. And I forgot his name. He had it on his shirt here. And I called his name and I said, you know, the Lord loves you and he cares about you and he died for your sins. He's coming back. And that boy was tore all to pieces. And I'm glad. Listen, that boy, he said, we've been bad. They've been partying. Listen, that the world gives that boy no hope of ever seeing his friend again. The world offers him no way. Listen, other religions can say, sorry, you've been too bad. You know what I could tell him? Christ died for everything you've done wrong and you can be saved. I don't care what you've done. You might have been out partying last night. You can get it right here this morning. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Prophecy made it necessary. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Psalm 41:9 said, yeah, my own familiar friend hath betrayed me. Talking about Judas. That happened when he was betrayed. Isaiah 50:6. He said, I gave my back to the smiters. I gave my back to the smiters. They plowed up his back. Psalm 22:14. He said, I'm poured out like water. My heart is melted in the midst of my bowels. That's a prophecy that was fulfilled on the cross. Isaiah 53:12 said, he bare the sin of many. That was fulfilled on the cross. Isaiah 53:7 made his grave with the wicked. Prophecy made it necessary. Ladies and gentlemen, prophecy made it necessary. The battle had to be fulfilled. And Jesus died on the cross to fulfill that prophecy, and thank God that he did. Lastly, I'm saying this and I'm done this morning. What the necessity of the cross, thank God salvation made it necessary. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. All things must be fulfilled concerning me. You know what the Lord said in Luke 24:44? He said, all things written in the law and prophets must be fulfilled in me. And they were. I'm telling you this morning, salvation made it necessary. Here's what the Lord did. The choir sings that song, Jesus Rescued Me. I read this story about years ago. They had a train, and this train come through this little town every day. And the old conductor sat right out on the front of the engine of that thing, where it's almost open. And he said there was a little old girl would sit there at this train passing this long time ago, and she'd sit there and wave at him every day when he'd come by. And had done that forever. And he said one of the highlights of his day was coming by every day and waving at that cute little girl. And he said it was so, he said the other guys talked about it and how cute she was, and they all laughed about it, and she's about 5 or 6 years old. And they said one time that train was coming up through there, and somebody hollered, where's she at? Where's she at? And all of a sudden they looked, the train was late. And all of a sudden they looked, she'd got tired of waiting on the train, and she's right out in the middle of the tracks of playing. And she was just oblivious. Playing, picking up rocks and stuff like that. And that train was good. They said they slammed on the brakes, but it kept going like that. And about that time, that old engineer, they said he come across the front of that thing, got down on the cow catcher, got off the front of that thing, grabbed that little girl, and put her off the side. And that train come over him. And, buddy, they said he rescued her. He rescued her. He lost his life, but she was safe. That's a perfect picture. How I was going, I was 16, 17, 18. Buddy, I mean the train was bound down on me. And the devil's coming down trying to take me with him to hell. But about that time, somebody reached down, gave his life, rescued my soul, picked me up. I'm telling you, that's what salvation is. Glory to God, people. That's shouting ground this morning. Jesus rescued me. Amen. They said, I had this little girl. And this little girl in this great big city got lost. Big city. She wasn't but about 4 years old, five. And somebody brought her to the police. They said, honey, where you live? She said, I don't know. They said, do you know the name of the street? She said, uh-uh. Do you know what your house looks like? She said, yeah. And I said, well, that could be a million of them in this town. Big city. And I said, well, do you know where this is? No. Do you know where that is? No. And she lived near this big old church. And the big old church was right down the road from her house. And buddy, they asked her, they said, do you know where that is? She said, yeah, with the big cross on top. She said, yeah, yeah. They said, you know where that is? She said, yeah, it's close to that. And they said, do you think that if we got you to that big cross, whew, Lordy mercy, that you could get your way home?
Yeah.
And she said, yeah. She said, if you can get me that cross, I can find my way home. And I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, listen, I'm nothing, you're nothing. I'm just an old dog this morning. But brother, if you can get me to that cross, I'll find my way home. And the cross is your way home this morning. Cross is your way home. Up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at the airport, they said for years it'd be foggy, and those little planes would come in there and they couldn't see, and they said there's a big old church out there and had a cross up, and they said they'd use that cross to guide them in. If you had to die today, you know what you do? You head right toward that cross. You head right toward that cross. They said this guy used to run them trolleys and stuff that go around, and they'll pick people up and drop them off, and pick people up and drop them off, pick people up and drop them off. And they'd go ding, 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 pick up people, and they'd say, and they'd stop at Elm Street. He'd say, anybody for Elm? Anybody for Elm? And somebody wanted to get off, another get off. He'd go up, ding, ding, ding. He'd pull up Market Street. Anybody from Market Street? There'd be a couple get off. And there's a street there called Calvary. I'm out from some church. And they said that old boy, he'd pull up. He'd pull up there and he'd say, ding, ding, anybody for Calvary? Anybody for Calvary? And there'd be some get off and all that. And some preacher heard him tell that story. And he said, you know what? I'm glad I went to church one day. And I heard a preacher say, anybody for Calvary? Anybody for Calvary? Just come and you can get off. Well, that roller coaster you're on this morning, it'll change your life. You know why Jesus died? It was a necessity to save us. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Father, come and get a song this morning. I want you to bow your head, close your eyes, and I want you to search your heart. Let me tell you some good news this morning. You can't be good enough to get to heaven, friend. That's why Jesus died for you. Now, He died for you, and all He wants you to do is come to Him. He wants you to come to Him. You've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And now it's time. It's your turn. It's your time. Maybe here this morning you've been saved, but you ain't been living like you ought to live. You ought to just get out of your seat. Come on down here this morning and say, Lord, I'm coming to Calvary. Hallelujah. That's right. Come on. Ladies, some of you ladies are men. God's speaking to your heart. Some of you ladies, come pray with her. These ladies, amen. You're here this morning, you've never been saved. You don't know. Hallelujah. Let God speak to your heart. Let God speak to your heart. There's a prayer answered right there, y'all. Woo! Hallelujah. I've been praying for that old boy there for weeks and weeks. Let God speak to you, ma'am. Come on. Come on, get out of your seat and come. Just get out of your seat and come. Come to Calvary. Come to Calvary. Come to Calvary. Thank God at the cross, Where I first saw the light. Burden of my heart rolled away. Come on, young ladies. Come on. Come to Calvary this morning. Come to Calvary this morning. Amen. Amen. Come on, sir. Come on, sir. Listen, the devil's done messed you up and you've been out doing things that are wrong. Why don't you come get it right this morning? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come to Calvary. Come on, sir. Come on. You say, well, preacher, I'm afraid I'll mess up. Don't you worry about that. You let God take care of that. You just come and give it all to Him this morning. Amen. Amen. Others need to come. Come on. Come on, young lady. Come on, teenage boy. Come on, girl. That's right. That's right. Come on. Come on. Just get out of your seat. Don't you be embarrassed. Don't you be ashamed. You come on and do business with God this morning. Settle it. It's a great opportunity. There's a billion people in hell this morning that'd give anything in the world to have the chance you've got right now. Why don't you come right now? Come on. Come on right now. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for answering prayer. Others, come on, ma'am. Come on, sir. Come on, get down here this morning and do business with the Lord. We got prayers being answered right here today. That's what that praying and fasting will do, people. God will move. God will move when people pray and fast and honor Him. Come on. Come on. Others need to come. Others need to come. Just get out of your seat and say, Lord, I want it, Lord. I want whatever you've got for me. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let the Lord help you this morning. Amen. Let the Lord help you this morning. Amen. You let the Lord help you this morning. These folks still praying up here. We're going to wait just a few seconds on you. Waiting for you this morning. Amen. Thank God. Others coming. Others coming. You come right now. You let the Lord help you right now. Come on. Let's do business with God. Christians are praying. Amen. Glory to God. You know what? Best thing you ever done in your life is head to Calvary. Head to Calvary. You cannot go to hell trusting in what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. Can't be done. Amen. God will bless you. God will help you if you'll let Him. Amen. 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 Thank God. Praise God, brother. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Let's go ahead and just sing one verse. One verse. If God spoke to your heart this morning, you need to move. Maybe you used to get in there and serve God, and now you've just got backslid and got out. Get back in there this morning. Let's sing one verse just for you. You come right now. Sing.
Just as
amen.
I
let the Lord help you this
way. One plea of that thy blood was shed for me.
Amen. Everybody in here, put your heart and your life in the Lord's hands. When you leave here, you say, Lord, I'm going to live like you want me to live. If you're doing something wrong, quit it. If you can't quit, kick yourself and pray and fast about it. God will help you. You can quit anything if you want to. That's the problem right there. We don't want to. So let's get right. Let's obey God. We got the biggest, best event of the year coming up here in a few weeks. Let's be ready for it. I don't know anything in America that I'd rather take a teenager to than our youth rally. I mean that. That may sound like I'm bragging. I'm just telling the truth. I don't know anywhere that I'd rather have a teenager in than our youth rally. There's nothing like it as far as the way we carry things out and everything. You just can't beat it. So let's come pray. You fast on your day. And if you haven't got a day, pick you a day and fast on that day. We're praying the Holy Ghost will get in there and do a work. Amen. Hallelujah. And now tonight, everybody be back. We're having that very, very special service tonight. And you need to be a part of it. Amen. And I'll be preaching a little bit. Going to thank God, young man. Please come. Well, hallelujah.